This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations, former national security advisor, writing most recently at The Economist magazine about AUKUS, Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. John takes us to a quotation from the very famous Edmund Burke. This is a man who was the godfather of the American Revolution in his philosophy. Edmund Burke's quote, "Please God, I will walk with caution whenever I am not able clearly to see the way before me." John, I take this as irony. AUKUS is celebrated right now, except in France, I believe, and China. However, you recognize that caution is as necessary as the good feelings that are going between Canberra, London, and Washington. Why caution, John? What is ahead of us that we can't see?
Well, I think AUKUS as an idea, this combination of the three countries to give Australia nuclear propulsion technology is a great idea. I think it could be a model of things in the future. But we face an enormous challenge from China in the 21st century across the full range of issues, political, military, economic, and there's no one silver bullet that is going to protect us from all of these threats, not even something really as original and creative as AUKUS. So I don't think we should pretend that we can take the time to search for that perfect answer. I think we've got to be working on a range of fronts, and in typical Burkean fashion, I think you have to proceed prudently based on the facts you know. And that's why the idea of adding to the West's undersea capabilities in the Indo-Pacific through AUKUS is such a good idea.
This is containment of the People's Republic of China. Containment in future, John, correct? Because it's giving the Australians the ability to build nuclear power submarines. At the same time, there will be years that need to be covered. Is that adequate? Is that different from what we do now, John? Do we not cover the Indian Ocean Basin with our submarines?
We don't cover any part of the Indo-Pacific adequately. We have, depending on how you count it, maybe 285 to 290 capital ships in the Navy now. Bipartisan committees have said the number should be at least 350. Remember, Ronald Reagan wanted a 600-ship Navy. So we're a long way from that. And the Pacific is characterized by space and time, very remote from us. Naval power is going to be critical there. But it, as you say, it takes time to build the fleet back up. Better that we start now than 10 years from now. But we are in danger, and our friends like Taiwan are in danger in the nearer term when, you know, the honest reality is we don't have adequate naval capability in the region.
You write that this makes Australia a hard power. What does that do to the region, John?
Well, I think it sends an enormously powerful signal, not just to China, but to everybody else, the countries that don't want to fall under Chinese hegemony. This is like putting at least 8 new American nuclear power submarines into the waters. The designs will be the same. The capabilities will be the same. We couldn't get 8 more nuclear submarines out of the Biden administration or out of the Democratic-controlled Congress. But this deal is, in effect, an expansion of the West collective capabilities. I think some other countries, Japan comes immediately to mind, will say, well, look, if the Aussies are going to have nuclear-powered submarines, what about us? To which I'd say, great, we're happy to sell them.
How does this alliance augment or not the Quad that was already in place, John?
Well, two of the members, Australia and the U.S., are part of AUKUS. As I say, Japan, a third member, will find it interesting. India, the fourth member, has nuclear-propelled submarines, I think largely with a Russian design. We need to move them away from that. We heard in the recent Canadian election the leader of the Conservative Party, who didn't win, but who said on a hearing about AUKUS he wanted Canada to participate in it. So I think there are a lot of countries in the region, in Southeast Asia in particular, who will take heart from this, who will say the Americans are back in the game.
Is Indonesia welcome, John? Is Singapore welcome? Is Vietnam welcome?
I think you have to take each case by case. Australia is obviously easy in that sense because of Five Eyes intelligence sharing with the three of the AUKUS countries plus Canada and New Zealand. This is very, very sensitive stuff we're talking about. But I think we have to be creative and look at these Chinese threats and say, look, to Indonesia or others, with this increased Australian submarine capability, you can focus on other common needs that we have that don't necessarily involve nuclear technology, or the costs that may be very difficult for a developing country.
France is a Pacific power. I'm told there are 2 million French voters or citizens across the Pacific, the South Pacific in particular. If France is upset now, can it be brought into this containment as well?
Yes, I definitely think so. I mean, the French are upset. They've lost there are different estimates of the total value of the contract with Australia that they lost, but they range around $80 billion. And anytime you lose that amount of business in an economy the size of France, that's real money. They say, well, we weren't given adequate notification. Look, we could have given them a week's notification. It still wouldn't have been adequate for this loss. What they need to do is pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and get back in the game.
China's reaction is bizarre for a power. The threats against Australia, I only paraphrase a little bit to say you will be the first to die. Why is China acting so badly? Do they not understand that they're inviting this containment?
I think they understand it a lot better today than they did before the announcement. They wanted Australia to be a kind of third world country for China, supply agricultural products, supply minerals, and that sort of thing, raw materials for Chinese industry. And there has been a long debate in Australia, many people saying, look, we're Pacific continent, our main markets are in China, we need to move closer to China. Many others in Australia said, of course, that's not what we should do. We should move closer to the United States. I think this deal makes that decision for Australia. They have chosen to be with the U.S. and the West.
And Taiwan, is Taiwan safer with the announcement of AUKUS than it was before?
Well, I think they'll be a lot safer when those fish are actually in the water. But again, from the point of view of saying the United States is now demonstrating through palpable action that it intends to increase its capabilities and presence in the region, that will give a real encouragement to Taiwan. We need to do a lot more, and that's why I say you cannot assume that this alone is anywhere close to enough. This is a first step. It's a great first step, but it's only one.
I've left out only one, South Korea. South Korea has entreaties to Pyongyang and to Beijing. Does this make Seoul hesitate, thinking that there's more merit in joining with an alliance than there is in beseeching Beijing?
You know, South Korea is a very divided country. Many people think reunification should be their main objective. Other people think preserving their freedom should be the main objective. And I'm sure this deal, especially if Japan seeks to get in on it, will be the subject of enormous debate. I think our alliance with South Korea is incredibly important. And I would hope many people in South Korea would begin to think, well, what can we do with the Americans and perhaps others that will give us an important role in this emerging effort to constrain China?
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former ambassador to the United Nations, writing most recently at The Economist magazine by invitation about the alliance with the United Kingdom, Economist territory, and Canberra, Australia. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.